My name's Polly Pistol, and I'm an alcoholic. By God's grace in a program called Alcoholics Anonymous, I haven't had a drink since April the 11th of 1977. I have a home group. That's the West Connect group in Jacksonville, Florida. We're a hybrid meeting, so we are live and Zoom. So if you're ever interested in coming to our group, just let me know. I'll give you all the codes. I have a sponsor. Her name is Rena Kay, and she has a sponsor, and I sponsor, and I am and my sponsee sponsor, and I am an active member in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I have been since I first got sober. And I just want to say I have a passion for this program. I absolutely love this program. And I'm so grateful that I was given this program and fed this program, and I've never lost that passion. And for that, I am so grateful. I came not long ago and did Traditions in Relationships. But one of the fun things that my husband Dave is the one who wrote all the stuff. I always say I didn't do any of that. I'm just the mouth. But Dave wrote all the stuff for Traditions in Relationships, and I don't remember when we first did it, but it was somewhere back in the early 90s. Oh, excuse me. That we started doing this. And it all started, it's like so many people in Alcoholics Anonymous, I just want to tell you, it's not an original idea by us. But Dave and I am Dave's fourth wife. He is my second husband. And Dave and I were getting married, and we wanted to stay married. And I was 40, and he was 44. And we wanted to stay married. We didn't want a divorce again. And so, and we didn't know, you know, we were just didn't really know how to do that. And fairly early in our marriage, it was the early 90s, and Dave and I had gotten married in 1980. And, we met this couple named Dick and Peggy Martin, and they were from Omaha, Nebraska, and they were doing Traditions in Relationships. And they sat down with us one afternoon and personally took us through the Traditions and Relationships. And Dave and I have utilized that. And we have been able to share the Traditions and Relationships all over the world. Because one of the things that is really, really important to me is that when we got married, we wanted to stay married. And I'd just like for you to know that on October the 27th, 2020, Dave and I celebrated 40 years of marriage. And it has been, we have had a journey. We've had a lot of fun. We've had, and, you know, just because you love each other and you're both in Alcoholics Anonymous and you're doing the deal, and he has a sponsor, and I have a sponsor, and you're doing the deal, doesn't mean that life doesn't show up. Because life's in session, and definitely life has shown up in our marriage. We've had a lot of different things. We've had Dave's oldest son died, and he was 41 years old when he died and 11 years sober. And he died, and we ended up having to file bankruptcy. Dave lost his job in 1993 when the bottom fell out of aerospace. We lost our home, and he lost his job. He is a computer scientist. He didn't work in his field again for 2 years. So life's been in session. And our entire marriage life has been in session. And life is in session right now, very much so right now in our lives, in that that Dave got sick 5 years ago, and he's had a lot of struggles in the last 5 years. So, but what has happened along the way is I just want to kind of share with you some of the fun stuff. And one of the things that Dave likes to do is he likes to research and find stuff. And one of the things that we always talked about in traditions and relationships is that men and women are different. We're not alike. Thank God we're not alike. And sometimes we have trouble with those differences about how men and women are different. And that's kind of what I want to share about today. And I used to have this idea before Dick and Peggy got with us. And I'd always say, he's not emotionally available to me. And when finally I had a sponsor who said to me, it wasn't Dick and Peggy, but it was a sponsor. And she says, Holly, if you want a marriage with somebody who is emotionally available to you, maybe you should get in a lesbian relationship because you are married to a man. And what I want to make clear here tonight is men and women are different. And I think men accept us more than women accept the differences in men, or at least in my circles, it's that way. We're always trying to change our men so that they're more sensitive, they're more this, they're more that, they're more attentive. In other words, we're trying to make them another woman and be like that. So at any rate, there is this little article on men are waffles and women are spaghetti that does it in such a fun way that we can see how different men and women are. And that way we can embrace each other's differences, because that's what's so wonderful about us being paired up. If you're paired up in a heterosexual relationship, this will also work on same-sex relationships, but it especially works on heterosexual relationships because there is a little difference. Although I sponsor women who are in same-sex relationships, and they can identify with the way the spaghetti and waffles is with each of their partners as well. So let's just get started. So men are like waffles and women are spaghetti. So how are you to understand the differences between men and women? We like to think of them this way. Men are like waffles. Women are like spaghetti. At first, this seems silly, even juvenile, but stay with me. It is a picture that works, and men get it perhaps because they like to hear things about food. They've added that little thing. Waffles. We do not mean that men waffle, like they're undecisive. That's not what we mean. On all decisions and generally unstable. That's not what we're talking about. What we mean is that men process life in boxes. If you look down at a waffle, it's a whole bunch of little boxes. It's a collection of boxes separated by walls. The boxes are all separated from each other and make convenient holding places. That is typically how a man processes life. Our thinking is divided into boxes. And the first box, the second box, let me draw it again. The first issue of life goes in the first box for one issue, and one issue only goes in the little box. The first issue of Life goes in the first box. The second goes in the second box, and so on and so on. The typical man lives in one box at a time, and one box only. When a man is at work, he is at work. When he is in the garage tinkering around, he is in the garage tinkering. When he is watching television, he is simply watching television. That is why he looks as though he is in a trance, and he can ignore everything else going on around him. Social scientists call this compartmentalizing. That is putting life and responsibility into different compartments. As a result, men are problem solvers by nature. They enter a box, size up the problem, and formulate a solution. In their careers, they consider what it will take to be successful and focus on that. In communication, they look for the bottom line and go straight for it. In decision making, they look for an approach they can buy into and apply it as often as possible. A man will strategically organize his life in boxes and then spend most of his time in the boxes that he can succeed in. This is such a strong motivation for him that he will seek out boxes that work and ignore the boxes that confuse him or make him feel like a failure. For instance, a man whose career holds the possibility of success will spend more and more time at work at the expense of other priorities. On the other hand, a man who always falls short at work or feels he never meets the expectations placed on him may find out that he is pretty good at being lazy. He will then develop a commitment to being lazy because he knows he can do that today with some proficiency as yesterday. Men also take a success approach to communication. If they believe they can successfully talk with their wives and reach a desirable outcome, they will be highly motivated to converse. If, on the other hand, the conversation seems pointless to him, or he finds understanding his wife impossible, he loses his motivation to talk and clams up. This is why men come up with such profound things and say such things as, is there any point to this conversation? Now, I don't know about any of you other women, but I can talk and talk and talk. And most of the time, Dave is glazing over as I talk because he just isn't in to all of that. Is this conversation leading anywhere? Can you just get to the point? And that's kind of a hard thing I have, is getting to the point. What's the point, Polly? What's the point? These are statements a man makes out of frustration because he doesn't know how to make conversation with his wife work. We make conversation out of everything. The success drive is why men find it easy to develop hobbies that consume their time. If a man finds something he is good at and it makes him feel good about himself and about his life, because men tend to be good with mechanical and spatula activities. They get emotionally attached to building fixing and chasing things. Yard projects become expressions of his personality. The car becomes his signature. Fishing becomes an all-consuming pursuit of the right equipment, the right fishing spot, and the right friends. The computer stops being a tool of work as it transforms into an educational, entertaining, and intimate friend. It makes predictable moves and gives predictable feedback. Because a man knows what he will get back from his computer, he spends more and more time with his keyboard while he spends less and less face to face with his wife. The bottom line with men is they feel best about themselves when they are solving problems. Therefore, they spend most of their time doing what they are best at while they attempt to ignore the things which cause them to feel deficient. On the other hand, in contrast to men's waffle-like approach, women process life more like a plate of pasta. If you look at a plate of pasta of spaghetti, you notice that there are lots of individual noodles that are touching one another. If you attempted to follow one noodle around the plate, you would intersect a lot of other noodles. And you might even switch to another noodle seamlessly. That is how women face life. Every thought and issue is connected to every thought and issue in some way. Life is much more of a process for women than for men. This is why women are typically better at multitasking than men. She can simultaneously talk on the phone, prepare a meal, make a shopping list, work on the agenda for tomorrow's business meeting, give instructions to their children as they're going out to play, and close the door with her foot. Without skipping a beat, all of this is done all in one smooth operation. Because all her thoughts, emotions, and convictions are connected, she is able to process more information and keep track of more activities. As a result, most women are in pursuit of connecting life together. They solve problems, but from a much different perspective than men. For women to quickly solve a problem when the issues involved in the decision are disconnected from each other is an act of denial. And so women consistently sense the need to talk things through. In conversation, she can link together the logical, emotional, rational, and spiritual aspects of the issue. The links come to her naturally, so the conversation is effortless. For her, if she is able to connect all the issues together, the answer to the question at hand bubbles to the surface and is easily accepted. This often causes sufficient, significant stress for couples because while she is making all the connections, he is frantically jumping boxes trying to keep up with the conversation. The man's eyes are rolling back in his head while a tidal wave of information is swallowing him up. When she is done, she feels better, and he is overwhelmed. Joan gets home and says, "Honey, how was your day?" "I had a good day today, we just committed to a new educational wing at the university, and I have been asked to oversee the budget. I am so excited that they don't rule me out because I am a woman. You know, women have been fighting for a place in society for decades, and it's good to see so much progress being made. I think it's so neat that you treat the women who work for you with so much respect. Our daughter is so lucky to have you for a dad. Did you remember that Susie has a soccer game tonight? I think it's important that we are there because the Johnsons are going to be there, and I really want you to meet them. Susie and Bethany are getting to be such good friends, and I think we should get to know her parents as well. As Joan is exploring this conversation, Dan is getting lost. He has no idea what the budget at the university has to do with their daughter's soccer game and their need to have a friendship with the Johnsons. He admires her ability to connect them seemingly unrelated thoughts, but he just can't seem to understand how she does it. One of the characteristics that create havoc in male-female interaction is the fact that most men have boxes in their waffle that have no words. There are thoughts in these boxes about the past, their work, and pleasant experience, but their thoughts do not turn into words. A man is able to be quiet, happy in the wordless boxes, because the memories he carries in them have significant meaning to him. The problem is that he cannot communicate these experiences to others, and so his wife may feel left out. Not all of the wordless boxes have thoughts, however. There are actually boxes in the average man's waffle that contain no words and no thoughts. These boxes are just as blank as a white sheet of paper. They are empty. To help relieve stress in his life, he will park in one of these boxes to relax. She observes his blank look and the relaxed posture he has taken on the couch. She assumes this is a good time to talk, as he is so relaxed, and she invariably asks, "What are you thinking, sweetheart?" He immediately panics because he knows if he tells the truth, she will think he is lying. She cannot imagine a moment without words in her mind. If he says nothing, she thinks he's hiding something and is afraid to talk about it. She becomes instantly curious and mildly suspicious. Not wanting to disappoint his wife, his eyes start darting back and forth, hoping to find a box in close proximity that has words in it. If he finds a box of words quickly, he will engage his wife in conversation, and both will feel good about the relationship. If he is slow to finding words, he desperately wants to explain to his wife that he sometimes just goes blank. Nothing is wrong, nothing is in denial, and nothing is being hidden. This is the way he has been his whole life, but she can't imagine it. Moreover, women tend to be loud. They talk loud, they love loud, and they live loud. Five of them together will all talk at the same time, usually loud. And no one gets lost or loses the thread of the conversation. They must have genetically enhanced hearing. plus not one of them misses a word. A conversation might sound something like this. And what happens, he didn't put it down there. But what happens, think about riding around in a car. And Dave says he's seen it many, many times. Just riding around in a car with me, all the women are talking all at the same time, and not one of them misses a beat. Everybody heard what everyone in the conversation was saying. And Dave is holding his head and thinking, how can this be happening? These women are all talking at once and nobody misses a beat. This is what happens when women get together and start talking. They will connect and find places and their spaghetti will start talking. Bumping up against each other, and nobody loses any part of the conversation. And a man has to jump from box to box and has a difficult time connecting all the spaghetti and all the different thoughts at one time. These blank boxes have an interesting characteristic that often gets in the way of a meaningful conversation. In the middle of a conversation, a man will periodically be moving from one box to another, and in between two boxes of words, he passes through one of these blank boxes. Right in the middle of the conversation, he goes silent. He knows he should have something to say, but he is blank. He knows it is awkward to go blank in the middle of a thought, but no amount of effort ever made it go away. It is an awkwardness he must live with and hope that his wife learns to adapt to it. And this is just a silly little exercise that kind of mostly puts out how men and women are different and how they think different and they react different. I have another little thing I want to share with you as well, because it is really cute too. I didn't know how much time it was going to take me to read that. So I have another little one that's just as cute if I can find it. I don't know if I can find it. Anyway, what I'm trying to do is to emphasize, here we go. What I'm trying to do, I can't find it right at this moment. What I'm trying to do is emphasize in this exercise that men and women are different. And we process differently. And what we do in relationships and what Dave and I have done is when we can learn to appreciate each other's differences. Now, my husband is very intellectual. He is a computer scientist. He loves intellectual stuff. I am one of these people, that loves to be in conversations, finding out what all is going on in your life. And I have a really hard time sitting and listening to conversations that are over my head. But if I didn't do that at times, I wouldn't be able to talk to Dave with things that he likes to do. And Dave and I we've been married 40 years, but we're very different. And those that know us, Jerry's sitting here, and Jerry knows Dave and I very well. Dave is a very quiet individual, and I am a constant chatterbox. Well, Jerry and I do really good because in his relationship, he's a chatterbox, and Maggie is more quiet. So usually that's what happens in relationships, is you have the chatterbox and you have the quieter person. what I have to learn to do and my relationship in order so that Dave and I can have good interaction is learn to listen to what he has to do and listen to what he's interested in. And sometimes it's 3 feet over my head. But I try the best I can to have some good questions to ask and do the best I can to understand what's going on in his life. Now, Dave's feeling of fun and the best way to have a vacation and do something is to get a bunch of ropes on his shoulder, a backpack on his back, go to Yosemite, climb a mountain, do a backpacking trip, and sleep in a little tent that he's carried on his back. That's how little it is. I find that absurd. I can't even imagine that. Black and white TV and slow room service is roughing it to me. I cannot imagine sleeping out in the woods. To me, that sounds like no fun. But that's what he likes. And so what we try to do is talk to each other about the things that we are passionate about and try to share those things and communicate and learn to listen. And I've learned a lot. I mean, I know a lot about backpacking and rock climbing today. But I tell you, I didn't know about that when I married Dave. I didn't know anything about any of that. So what I want to do is just put out some, we're kind of doing like a little work here. And you give me some ideas. You talk to me. Ask me some questions if you want to. I'm not an authority. But what I know is that Dave and I have worked with a lot of couples. And we have stayed married a long time and happily married. And I guarantee you today, I understand with all my heart and soul that men and women are different. And what we have to do is learn to embrace those differences. And if we do, we live together so good. It's when we don't embrace those differences that we have problems. Anybody got any questions? Come on, somebody do it. If somebody starts, then the rest, everybody else will follow.
What about, okay, I'm single. Is it okay if you marry someone in the program? I mean, is that good advice to marry someone in the program?
Well, let me just tell you that I am married to another alcoholic. And we've had a fabulous relationship. But I'll tell you, sometimes it's not easy. Because both of us are selfish and self-centered. So what we have to learn to be is not so selfish and self-centered. But I love being married to another member of this fellowship. I know a lot of people who are married to Al-Anons and then people who are not in the fellowship. I see it work every way. It's just important. I work my program. And a lot of times, because Dave's in the program, I sometimes take him for granted.
Okay.
And I think, but there's a lot of things that go around our house, you know, if somebody's having problems or such as that, and, you know, at work or something like that, it might be that we're saying, you know, after it's got through, well, have you looked at your part in that situation? We talk a lot of lingo, and you know, we'll say, I don't have a part in this. Did you hear what I said? But we both have a tendency to head for the steps, and so that happens. That's a good thing, and it's not a good thing. It works both ways.
The reason I asked that is because I see such good examples. in AA. And it's like it attracts me, like you all attracted me when I came in here as far as sobriety. And I go like, oh, I would love to have a marriage like that, because I see different married couples in the program that attracts me to that type of marriage. But anyway, thanks.
It's fun. I love being married to another alcoholic.
You know, I think probably one of the big difficulties we've had in our marriage is probably trying to, if one of us comes up with a problem or a situation, and trying to give it to the other one, and, you know, expect a quick decision or expect, you know, I guess what I'm trying to say is I think we've kind of found that sometimes we have to walk around the block or take time or think stuff over. What is your experience with that, men, women? How does all that work?
Well, for one thing, men process in a box. So what happens, and it's not easy for a man, if you think about the waffle, to jump from one box to the other. Mm-hmm. A woman has got a lot of thoughts going at one time. And once, at least for me, let me put it this way. I want it answered quickly. Dave may need to pause and kind of process it slowly. And I can be very rude. Are you listening to me? Did you hear what I said? And he said, I hear what you say. I just need to think about it for a minute. Because he needs to get in one of his boxes and find and figure it out. And maybe he has to go to another box. But I'm doing everything and, you know, I'm thinking everything at one time. Does that make any sense, or does that feel like your relationship?
Oh, yeah. Actually, I think sometimes we're almost opposite. I think sometimes she's the waffle and I'm the spaghetti. You know?
Right. And that happens. That happens. A lot of us will see those tendencies and, you know, in the other sex. I'll be a little more, think a little more masculine, a little more feminine. Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I am definitely the chatterbox in my family. And I live with one man and one boy. So I am outnumbered at this point. And I have a tendency with my husband and now our son to talk things to death. So how did you get beyond that? Because I can see the glaze in the other people.
I don't know. I don't know if you do. I think we do the best we can. I am the mother of two sons and I have no daughters. And of course, there's no doubt that I'm the chatterbox. You know, that and even my sons both of them have no, even at younger, would just stand there and say, Mom, you talk it to death. I heard you the first time. That's enough. I heard what you said. And I gotta keep emphasizing and telling them. And what they do is they get it, they pull back and they're done. They don't want to hear me go on and on and on and on and on. So that's kind of, it sounds like you're dealing with the same thing. That's our characteristic. What I have to do is pay. Now, after you heard waffles and spaghetti, now you know. So now you can pull back. Until Dave found this thing, I didn't know. I had no idea that that's what I did until he did this in one of our workshops. And I'm like, where did you get that? And it was just, but it's so true of how men and women interact with each other. And you're the mother of sons, so you don't get a lot of stuff. They don't want to talk it over and over and over.
That's right.
And that's my experience.
Oh, that's mine. Thank you.
Yeah, I know. Everybody's got an experience here of how men and women process things. It's so fun. Have you ever had a conversation with your husband and you go on and then you change subjects and then change subjects and then he's standing there looking at you and he's like, what are you talking about? Are you talking about the truck or the yard or the grocery bill? Which conversation are we in? Because we'll just move from one to the other without ever taking a breath.
You know what I found fascinating? The last time you gave a talk about using the traditions, mm-hmm. I think that was you, using mm-hmm. the traditions in the marriage. Well, I thought that was brilliant. Yeah.
I have a question.
That's what we try to do is use the traditions in the marriage, which causes us to pause. I have, being a sponsor has helped. And I'm only going to say help, but I'm a talker and I need to pause and be quiet and listen. I need to learn to be a listener. I need to learn to listen to my sponsees. I need to listen to my children and grandchildren. And I certainly need to listen to my husband, but I'm thinking and I'm ready to talk. You know, I've got the answer before he gets the question out. It's like he doesn't talk fast enough for me. He, you know, come on, get it out. Let's go.
Thanks, Polly, for your talks. And I listened to that traditions one a couple weeks ago or a month ago or so. So my husband and I met in the program. We have been married 22 years. We're both alcoholics. He's the chatterbox. I'm the quiet one. So my question for you is, he repeats himself over and over and over and over. So I know he's not going to change, right? I can't go there, but how do I deal with that? Help me.
Well, I don't, you know, what I, the only thing I would do is just say, I repeat myself too. And both my husband and my sons say, Mom, you already said that. You already said that. But I try, you know, he's got to want to do it for himself. I am a person who does that too, Amy. And I really try to see what I want you to do, what my ego wants you to do is to hear what I'm saying and do it my way. But what I need to do is step back, let you have a say so, and let us have a discussion. Just like we would in a business meeting, in our AA meeting. And what we try to, what you may try to do is say, you know, you said that. Can we talk about, can we don't have to repeat it again. Let's just talk about it. And that's kind of how Dave has handled me. One of my youngest sons is the one who calls me out the most. And he's in AA. Both of my sons are in AA, but my oldest son has just come to AA at 58 and a half years old. He's 60 now, but he's been in AA for 2 years now. But my oldest son is 37. My youngest son is 37 years sober. He calls me out the most. Dave just sort of turns me off. And just waits for me to finish.
Well, thank you, because he's listening too, so I'm sure he heard that. Thank you.
Yes.
This is really excellent for me. I grew up with two older brothers and my father, so I have most of their traits. So when somebody's talking incessantly in my ear, it's like I feel like it's that wah, 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 wah from Charlie Brown, and I want to turn it off. You know, it's like the radio. I can't turn it off. But the one thing I can't understand is when somebody, is giving so many details about something. It's like, you know, it's kind of hard to explain. It's just, you know, can you get to the point? You know, where I was used to, like, you know, I grew up in that. And I guess I have more of the male side where it's like, okay, I could have heard that in one sentence and you just spent 20 minutes on it. That's what it feels like, but it may only be 2 minutes. So I'm not quite sure how to, you know, I just work the program and I kind of like say prayers in my head. But so I don't understand that need to be detailed. It's just kind of weird to me. I don't know if you can shed light on that.
Yeah, it's what you're kind of doing, like the waffle box. You know, I've already got this, and the other people are kind of the spaghetti. It's hard to, sometimes it's very hard for people that are really spaghettis for the waffles to keep up, because we're bouncing from one thing to the next, and it doesn't make any sense. You can't connect the dots. So everybody kind of has to learn. These are like, this is what we do. Pay attention. This is, this is like, you're doing this. Let's do the best we can to finish a thought. What I try to remember with Dave is to finish a thought before I move on to another thought, so that he's, because if not, he just gets lost in the conversation and don't want to pay any attention to it.
Let's see. We had a chat. Polly, I'll read you the question. Do women want a solution to the problem, or do they want us just to listen to the problem?
That is the best question ever. Men are problem solvers. That's what we started out with. That's the box. Men are problem solvers. Women want to talk about the problem. They don't necessarily want a solution. And what happens is a man is a, that's what you do. You're a problem solver. Solve the situation. I don't know if any of you have had a conversation like this with your partner. But what will happen is I'll come in, I'll be all worked up about something, and Dave starts giving me solutions. And I'm getting more and more pissed. I'm like, I want you to listen to what I have to say. And he asked me that very question. He's saying, do you want me to help you with this problem, or do you want to just talk? And if you want to talk, I'll listen. But if you want some feedback, I'll give it to you. And that's kind of been some talk Dave and I do now. Because now what he'll say to me is, do you want me to listen to this, or do you want some feedback? And it's kind of like, and I've talked to people, men who are sponsors with men and women who are sponsors with women. We spend so much time listening, and then, men get to the point really quick. And I'm not saying that everybody's the same, because some women we've just heard are just the opposite too. But that is kind of primarily how it works.
Did you have a question?
I did, but it was just addressed in the last question. I was going to say that I can't stand it when I talk to either a male friend or someone I'm in a relationship with that's a man, and all they want to do is, well, just do this. We'll just do that. We'll just do this. And I was going to ask the same question. It's hilarious. So
yeah.
I think you answered that. Thanks.
And the thing about it is, when we understand, one of the things that I have had to understand is that my husband is not another woman. I am married to a man who thinks in these boxes. I am married to that man. And I have had to learn to talk to him. And fortunately, he's wanted to learn too. So we've learned together. In fact, he's the one that researched and found this information. And what I have to do, it's just like anything else we do in our program. I want to have a good marriage. So I'm trying to learn to have the kind of relationship with my husband that worked. And if I need to talk something over, and I can, And I can go over the same thing over and over and over. And sometimes I just need to talk about it till I can't talk about it any longer. And he can't listen to it like that. But what happens is I have to learn when I'm going to talk today and get what I need, and when I'm going to talk to a friend, another woman, and get what I need. And by doing that, I have had a better relationship with my husband. And I take the expectations off him that he's going to react and talk to me like my girlfriend. Because he's not going to talk to me like that. He doesn't want to go over it 100 times. He just wants to give me the information and be done. And that's the point I'm trying to make. When we have conversations and we're communicating with each other, when we're in relationships that we're going to, and maybe it'll be the woman who is more like that and the man, just like we were talking about earlier with Billy and Lynn. Maybe it'll work like that. But what most of the time, it's one or the other. And what happens is we have to learn how to communicate with our partners so that we have good communication. We don't get angry with each other and feel like you're not listening to me, you're not paying any attention. And Dave will feel like I'm not listening to him. He'll say, why do you have to go over that again? I just gave you an answer. So... and it's learning. Both of us are learning to be able to communicate in a relationship so we can have a long-term relationship, plus respect each other. And that's what we're trying to do. And that's what we do with the traditions, is we learn to respect each other.
Yeah, Polly, we had a question. Is it possible to get a copy of this material, or how can we get a copy of that?
Okay, absolutely possible. I want you to take down this website. The website is all lowercase, James L.
What?
James L.
Can you spell that, please?
JAMESL .org. / Bill W. And when you get to the website, it will ask you for an ID. The ID is Dave, D-A-V-E, lowercase. The password is Polly, P-O-L-L-Y. And you just go for traditions and relationships. And you can download the whole thing, and waffles and spaghetti is in that, along with several other things. And Dave has some stuff there that is scientific, that shows some brains, and how men and women's brains are even different.
Polly, another question was, when will there be another Traditions in Marriage workshop?
I don't know. I don't have one on the books. But I'm always, Dave and I, either both of us, or I am always delighted to do it. It's my favorite thing. I love being married. And what's even better is I like to be happily married. But it doesn't just happen. It requires effort on both our parts. Because it's just like We are interacting with another person. And I don't know what your 12 and 12 says, but my 12 and 12 says that I am a person who is incapable of conducting a relationship with another human being. I can't do that. So what I have to do is find every way I can to learn how.